Welcome to the Word of Life Church podcast. It's an absolute delight to have you with us. Today, brace yourselves for a message that's not just timely, but transformative, an inspiring and uplifting word straight from God's heart to yours. We're immensely grateful to our partners for their unwavering support, enabling us to spread this beacon of hope and faith across the globe. Your efforts are changing lives, and for that, we thank you from the bottom of our hearts. If you feel called to join our mission and want to become a partner, please visit thelife.cc/give. Your support can make a world of difference. Now, let's dive into today's word, confident that it will directly speak to your heart, strengthen your faith, and inspire you to live out God's purpose for your life.
Who's excited to be alive? All right. It's a good day. It's a good day. So I've never been presented like that before, so it feels weird. I saw it in the first service in Highland Colony. I was like, well, what do I say after that? And so, well, number one, I love being here. I love being a part of this church. It's amazing to see everything that God is doing through this church this week in Brazil. And Pastor has many more details, but you guys have been an incredible blessing over there. We'll be blessing, those missionaries over there with a couple of things, and they're going to be happy about it, and I'm excited because it's thanks to everyone that partners and is just generous, and it just goes along with everything that we've been learning the past couple of weeks in this series titled Asking for Naomi. Now, who's been blessed by this series? I've been blessed by this series. I really have. It's changed. You say these things sometimes, but it really has changed my life. In the past couple of weeks, my life has changed a lot with regards to generosity, being more generous. And so I'm just excited. And I'd like to, first of all, say hello to all our other campuses that are watching us right now. When I mention their names, please give them a big round of applause. So we have Highland Colony, right? Highland Colony is like the big baby. It's the number one. It's the firstborn. And we have our Fondren campus as well, right? So that's like our little baby. And then we have our online campus, which was like in between this, so he doesn't know if it's the baby or not anymore. But online campus, please give him a round of applause. Everyone that is watching us, thank you so much. We love you guys. And Poindexter, I think Pastor Rob is preaching there, so we can't say hello, but hello, Poindexter. So when Pastor wrote to me a couple of months ago about asking for Naomi and everything, I found it interesting because I grew up in a missionary home. My parents were missionaries. And they still are, actually. And they do missions in Latin America, based out of Colombia, the whole thing. But as a missionary's kid, my vacations were different than normal vacations. Our summer vacations, we would fly from Colombia to the States, and my dad would itinerate. And so we would itinerate with my dad. For me, vacation was traveling anywhere from 5,000 to 8,000 miles in 1 month, going from church to church. And I thought it was awesome. I had no idea people could do something different. And so to me, it was awesome. We would buy the yearly Rand McNally Atlas, because Google Maps didn't exist back then, and I was the designated co-pilot, and my job was to find the next rest area, and we would visit 30, like, I would go back home, and I was like, it was amazing. We saw 30 rest areas. Incredible. I have a new record of holding in, not going to the bathroom. It's 12 hours now, we peed in bottles, because my dad was the type of person that was like, we get there till when we get there, and we're not stopping until we do. And so three boys, so we learned how to pee in bottles. Like, it was amazing. To God be the glory. And so until I started talking with my friends, and they're like, you did what for vacation? I was like, rest area number 25 was awesome. It had a new urinal. It was amazing. I just had to wave and the water would come out. Oh my goodness. They're like, what did you do? I was like, well, we went to, to the beach, or we went to stuff. I'm like, wait, y'all can do that? Like, what church did you go to preach an itinerary? And they're like, we don't do that, John. And so I thought, oh my gosh, we do that because we're poor. I had no idea we were poor. I thought we were just having fun, missionary style. And so for a while there, I struggled with it because I'm like, we're going to preach and my dad's going to ask for money. And so I got mad at God because I'm like, God, like, this is your front linesman, right? And they're going back to beg for bullets. And it's like, why are we doing this? And so through it all, my job when my dad was ministering is I had his book table. So I managed his book table. I'm like 7, 8, you know, all the way to like 12 or 13, where then I got an assistant manager called my brother. And so he did most of the work. But it was funny because at that time, my dad had us put newsletters for people, you know, to sign up to get the monthly newsletter of what we were doing in Colombia. And you could also buy his cassettes. So I saw this and I'm like, this needs a little color. This needs a little life. And so I bought some like Colombian wooden parrots to put around, you know, give it some zest, give it some color, give it some life. And so I'm standing there and, you know, we're trying to like sell my dad's tapes and newsletters and everything. And so I'm standing there and this lady comes out. I'll never forget, because this lady comes up to me and is like, how much is the parrot? So I'm like, huh. So it cost me like 20 cents back home. So I'm like, $5? And she bought like 3. So next year comes around, book table, 40 parrots, newsletters, no tapes. I'm like, Dad, no one's buying your tapes. And so, but they're buying parrots and we're making so much money. Next year, coffee, parrots, no newsletters. We're like, no, this is where it's at. Dad, let me help you. Like, help me help you. Because I'm going to pay my way out of poverty through parrots. And so, and we were like, buy 2 coffees, get a free parrot. Like, it's like amazing. And so, and we had one more idea, but my dad cut it real quick. We had printed this thing out where it was a fundraiser for the starving children of Colombia. And so my dad's like, wait, who's the starving children of Colombia? I was like, we're the starving children of Colombia. We live in Colombia. We're children. We're always hungry. Where's the lie? My dad's like, no, you're not doing that. And I remember through this moment of time, my dad would preach, and then the pastor would take us out to eat or wherever we were at. And I remember we're sitting there, and so we're ordering and everything. And then at the end of dinner, my dad asks for the check, and he pays for it. And as he's going to go pay for it, I grab him. I'm like, no, let the pastor pay for it. And he's like, well, John, why? It's like, well, because we're the poor people. And the rich pay for the poor, not the other way around. Like, and so my dad finally realized, oh, John, you think we're struggling here? And so he tells me, John, no, we are very blessed. So I look at him, I was like, do we live together? Because I don't know what you're saying, but this is what I'm saying. And so my dad proceeds for like the next couple of months to start to teach me about what it really means to be blessed. And he started with Acts 20, verse 35. It says, I have shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. So my dad would always tell me, John, remember, it is more blessed to give than to receive. I would look at him and I'd be like, that doesn't sound right. Because I'd much rather be receiving than giving. Like, subtraction, how's that going to add to my life? It didn't make sense. So my dad would proceed to tell me, John, no, it's because you're already blessed. I'm like, where? It's like, because you have him. I'm like, okay, so yes, yeah, so I'm happy I have God, but I wish I had more shoes. I wish I had all these things. And so my dad started saying this phrase that I've shared with you before. He would say, John, lower your expectations. And I'm like, what do you mean? That doesn't even sound like faith. I was like, lower your expectations on the things of this life. Because you were not meant to be filled by the things of this life. You were meant to be filled by the God of life. That you will always be frustrated in this life when you're always pursuing something that the devil can take away. But you will become a harder target for the enemy when your affections are set on the things above that he can't reach. You become a harder target for the enemy, and your joy just becomes so much stronger and harder to eradicate, harder, you know, to attack if your affections are on the things that the devil cannot touch. And a lot of people have a lack of joy because their affections are on the things of this earth. And all it takes for the enemy to take away your joy is give you a door ding. All it takes for the enemy to take your joy is to crease your shoes. Right? And then you can crease your shoes and then your joy is gone. You've saved so much for these J's. You've saved so much for these things. And then all of a sudden the puddle decides to spit on your shoe and your life is over. But I would say, no, you are so blessed. You don't even know. God's been way too good for you not to be grateful. So it took me some time. But I realized my problem wasn't that we maybe didn't have all the money we needed. My problem was that I wasn't focusing on what I was supposed to be focusing on. Psychology calls this a counterfactual. Depending on what you are focused on, like it'll produce or take away joy in your life. An upward counterfactual is looking at the things you don't have, and so it produces like grief. But a downward counterfactual is looking at the things you've missed out on, things that you've actually accomplished, and it creates joy in your life. They did a study in the Olympics, and they said that people that win a bronze medal are quantifiably more happy than people that won a silver medal. And the reason is because of this counterfactual, that people that win silver medals, all they're focused on is how close they were to getting a gold medal. So they're not happy because, they're focusing on not on their win, they're focusing on what they lost. And on the other hand, they're the bronze people right here, the bronze medalists, and they're happy. Why? Because they were so close to not making it at all. Now, they're just so happy to be at the podium. And then they're just happy. I was like, yes, I could have won, but look, I missed out on not being on the podium. What you focus on really determines, the outlook of your life. You have to realize, and maybe you have to focus more on how good God has been than focusing on everything that I don't have yet. When you have gratitude in your heart, it will eradicate greed from your heart. And sometimes we're greedy because we haven't been grateful. And then you just become an easy target for the enemy. I remember Reinhard Bonnke is my favorite missionary of all time. You might have your favorite missionary. I don't know if you have a favorite missionary, but I have favorite missionaries. And my favorite missionary is Reinhard Bonnke. He passed away a couple of years ago, but 79 million people got saved through his ministry. In Lagos, Nigeria, once he had over 3 million people in attendance in the massive crusade where over 1 million people got saved. Like, he is a hero. And I remember I saw an interview once where they came up to him and they asked him, like, what do you think about all these multitudes? Like, God is truly blessing you by giving you multitudes. He's blessing your obedience. He's blessing the time you have sown in the continent of Africa. And he is blessing you with millions. And Reinhard turns to the reporter and says, no, God's not blessing me with millions. God doesn't bless me with multitudes. He blesses me with him. He blesses me with more of his presence. To be truly blessed is to know him and the power of his resurrection. To be truly blessed is to have an intimate relationship with God. It's not to have more things. It's to know him. That when you know him, you start to realize you really don't need that much and you become content. The word of God says in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6, godliness with contentment is great gain. The reason there is great gain in godliness, a godly life and contentment is this same principle that God, the devil can't attack you when you're content. He can't attack you when you're really living a life that is lightweight. I remember when we started doing missions with Carolina, God gave us one word, and it was a word in Spanish. And the word was, because God can speak Spanish. I don't know if you guys knew this, but God speaks Spanish fluently. So he told us, ligero, ligero. What that means is lightweight. He told us, live a life that is lightweight. That you're not attached to things on this earth. That in any given moment, it's not that God doesn't want to bless you. The problem has never been with what God wants you to have. The problem's always been with what has your heart. It doesn't matter how many cars you have, how many shoes you have. Have all of that. As long as it doesn't have you. As long as it doesn't crush you when you lose it. As long as you don't care because you have him. Because surely goodness and mercy follow you all the days of your life, and you will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I am blessed because I have you. Thank you for the shoes. Thank you for the clothes. Thank you for the job. But I'm truly thankful because I have you. I can lose it all, but if I have you, I'm still more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. I will still win in this life. Now, thanks be unto God who always causes me to triumph in Christ Jesus. I am blessed because I have him. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Verse 7, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out, having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. When you're grateful for the things that God has done in your life, it will remove greed from your heart. And why is that important? Because then you can truly start to be generous. See, one of the points of being created here is not just to be blessed by God. If that was the only premise of life, is to be blessed by God, the best thing that God could do for us is take us to heaven. Why? Streets of gold, you know, doors of pearls. I mean, you get a mansion, you don't have to put a down payment on that thing. You know, it's like there's no payments, there's no lease, there's no nothing. Like, you just go. It's awesome. So, I mean, if it's about just being blessed, well, let's just go to heaven. The reason why we're here is to glorify God and for others to glorify him as well. For others to, my dad would say it this way, is to see the only miracle you'll never see in heaven, and it's seeing someone get saved. Because once you're in heaven, you don't see that miracle, because everyone that's in heaven is already saved. That's the point of here. It's not just to be blessed, but to be a blessing so that others can glorify God. It's not just what God can do for me. It's what God can do through me for other people. But I can't be generous when I'm filled with greed. So I can't fulfill what God has called me to do because of that. A couple of years ago, I've mentioned this before. Carolee and I were going through like some financial struggles, and so I was working at this warehouse. And I remember this one day, they were going to give a bonus to the worker who moved the most boxes, and there's more to it, but that was kind of like the premise. And so I saw it. I'm like, we need that bonus. And there was 5,000 workers at this warehouse. So I'm like, Father, you know, help me. And so I'm talking with the people that are moving the pallets. And I'm like, give me the easy ones because I need more money. I need more, you know, that. Like the parent entrepreneur was still at the warehouse. I ended up winning over 5,000. So I'm happy. They gave me, it's not a big bonus, but it was more than we had. And so I got the bonus. I called Carolina. I'm like, Carolina, baby, you know, I'm going to take you somewhere nice. Let's go. Like, we're going to be rich for one night. I got this bonus. And Carolina, she was just silent. And you know what? The more you're married, the more you can hear the silence of your wife. I don't know if that makes sense or not, but like, you can tell she's thinking. And so I'm like, what happened? Like, what did I do? What did I say? What happened? And she was like, that's not food to eat. That's seed to sow. That's what she said. I'm like, what do you mean? And then I remembered and I brought it so we could all read it. 2 Corinthians 9 verse 10 says, now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. In other words, don't eat seed that was meant to be sown. And sometimes we get frustrated in life when there is no harvest, when truly, you know, you had seed to sow, but you ate it. And so Carolina was like, no, that's not food to be eaten. That's seed to be sown. And so we prayed and we're like, Father, what do you want us to do with this money? And since that moment until now, we asked God that question. At the beginning, I was terrified to ask God that question because God is very generous with my money. Has that ever happened to you? You kind of like hide it from God because like, no, you're going to give it away. Like, I work hard on this. Right? come to find out, the word of God explains that, you know, we're here to steward his money. This isn't our money. You know, it's just, yes, maybe you did it out of your talents, but guess who gave you those talents, right? Like, yes, it was out of the sweat of your brow, but guess who created your brow, man, to sweat? I mean, it's like, it's God. That's who we're stewarding it for. So we asked him, and so he told us where to sow. And I got a little frustrated because I'm like, you know, that person that's receiving doesn't need it as much as me. Like, I need it. But a couple of months later, you know, after a couple of miracles, we were debt-free. We had no idea how. And I remembered we had seed to sow. And so we have to be dynamic enough in our intuition to understand when we receive something, is this meant to be sown or is this meant to be eaten? And God is a father who wants to bless you. So sometimes people are terrified and it's like, well, God is going to want me to sow everything and not be happy. No, God wants you to be happy. But sometimes joy comes through contentment more than it does through acquiring things in this life. So I would persuade you to ask him first. Ask him, what do you want us to do? Because the whole premise of the series is that we are standing in the gap for someone else. Ruth was standing in the gap for Naomi. You know, she wasn't looking to be, she could have married someone and then just found her own life. But she saw Naomi. She saw that Naomi still needed, you know, her sustenance. And so she went out to find blessing for Naomi. And then she got blessed because of it, right? And I think that's part of it. When you start being a blessing, God is going to bless you even more. It just happens. It's the whole idea of a pipe, a water pipe. The purpose of a water pipe is not to get wet. The purpose of a water pipe is to pass water from point A to point B. But the more water that passes through point A to point B, the more wet the pipe gets. And so the purpose of us is to be a blessing. But trust me, the more blessing you are, the more blessed you're going to be. It's the way the scripture teaches us. It's kind of the design for us as Christians is to be generous. So I asked Pastor for permission. I want to talk about three Naomis. Now, as a church, we support over 40 different ministries and missionaries. So I wish I had the time to just show you all of them. But let me talk this morning about three Naomis. I just want to prick your heart towards generosity. So I want you guys to know of these people. The first is a ministry called Hasten Nations. And they build houses, like safe homes for children in Nepal. I've never been to Nepal. My brother's been to Nepal. And he's told me he's never seen poverty until he went to the slums of Nepal. That is, you know, their lifestyle and their conditions are so harsh that it's inevitable how kids end up in sex trafficking just because of money. And let me pause real quick. None of this is meant to manipulate you. None of this. And like Pastor likes to say, if you feel manipulated, don't give, because that's not the point of what I'm saying. All I'm saying is, as of right now, I have the opportunity to stand here and talk about Naomis. And let me show you these Naomis. So Hasten Nations, it costs about $20,000 to build a home. And as a church, we've committed to raising that money to build one of like six or eight homes that they want to build in Nepal. So maybe this is a Naomi, you know, you can vouch for. Maybe this is something that you want to give towards. Second Naomi I want to mention is Eckhart Hornberg from Worldwide Evangel. Eckhart Hornberg is like a mini Reinhard Bonnke. I remember going to visit him in Ethiopia. The first village we went to was called Tayagena. And in Tayagena, there are no cars. The mode of transportation is donkeys, mules. Literally, you see like 40 mules walking through the streets with people on it. And it's the first time I saw over 2,000 people get saved. And I wasn't really paying attention to the message at that moment. And I just looked up and there's 2,000 people walking towards the front. And so I got scared. I'm like, in Colombia, this means we're going to go see our father. So like, I'm like, well, what are we supposed to do? And they're raising their hands. And I'm like, uh-oh, here it comes. And they're getting saved. They're getting healed. Blind eyes are literally being open. You know, deaf ears. It's just amazing. Supernatural. He once told Reinhard Bonnke, he's like, Reinhard, you go to the cities, I'll go to the villages that you can't reach. And so as of right now, a door has been opened to go and start evangelistic crusades in Sri Lanka, which is an island south of India, very unchurched. And it costs about $25,000 every time to do a massive crusade where thousands of people get saved. So as a church, we've also decided to partner with them and raise the funds to be able to do a massive crusade in Sri Lanka. It is amazing that we get to be a part. And the third is a Naomi that is very close to home. It's our young adult ministry. And we've started a young adult ministry a couple of months, maybe a year or two ago. And the whole idea is to invade campuses right here in the Jackson metro area and get these people saved. You know, how many know that this generation will also be saved? There's three of us that believe that God can reach this young generation. How many believe that God can reach this? There is nothing impossible for God. So we're raising funds so that our young adults ministry can go into these campuses, you know, have different moments, parties and whatnot, and get-togethers so that we can preach the gospel and also see this generation be saved. We're not waiting for them to leave college to get saved. We're wanting for them to get saved so that they can be in college and be a light and transform that area and transform those relationships, and to God be the glory in those areas, in the name of Jesus. Amen. 2 Corinthians 9:8 says, "And God is able to make all grace abound toward you." Let me read that again. "And God is able to make all grace abound toward you." And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. Now, let's look at this real quick. Number one, God has the capacity. He is able to make all grace abound towards you. So he can open doors that no man can shut. You know, he can write the checks. He can do all of this. But the finality is for what? So that we can have abundance for every good work. That's the idea. The idea is not just for us to be blessed, for us to abound, but for us to have abundance for everything that God has called us to do. You know, when we would travel with my dad, he would always tell this story about this kid. And this is kind of how I feel whenever we see missionaries, whenever we travel in the mission field. This kid goes into this chocolate factory and he sees this huge vat of chocolate, just huge, like a pool size, filled with liquid chocolate. And so he goes in because he wants to see how it is. And because of circumstances, he slips and he falls into the chocolate. So he's swimming in the chocolate. He doesn't know what to do. So he prays out loud real quick. And he says, "Father, give me ability equal to my opportunity." And whenever we're in missions, and I can tell you this, Pastor Joel, right now in Brazil, I can tell you he has this on his heart, this moment being there. So you see the whole opportunity of being able to bless, transform, be generous, change eternity forever. And our heart is, "Father, we see the opportunity. Now give us the ability. Father, we see the opportunity to bless, to transform families, to transform even nations and generations. So, Father God, today, give us the opportunity. Make all grace abound towards us, that us, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound for every good work." Father, give us the ability equal to our opportunity. As a church, we see these opportunities, not just in the Jackson metro area, but around the world. And Father, we ask you today that we might abound, that there can be abundance in our families, that it can be grace in our ministry, but there can also be grace in our jobs. Father, give us that grace so that we can be generous, Father. We thank you and we bless you, Father. Now today, we take communion. And communion is remembering the greatest act of generosity ever. The Word of God says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave. He gave. God, out of love for this world, the one thing he did was he was incredibly generous and gave it all. Jesus gave his life. You know, some people say that they took Jesus' life, but and you don't see this really in like any program or any movie that they've done out of Jesus, where, you know, he's at the garden and they come to him and they say, "Are you Jesus Christ?" And he says, "I am." And when he says, "I am," it trembles, like though there was like this earthquake because of the power of God, and they all fall, and Jesus is standing. And they ask him again, and he says, "I am," and they fall again. And he's just showing, listen, no one's going to take my life. I'm giving my life. He even told Peter, he's like, "Don't you know I have 12 legions of angels ready at my disposal for me to say the word and they'll come down?" There's about 6,000 angels per legion. 72,000 angels in heaven, ready at the precipice of heaven. Just say the word, Jesus. And all Jesus says is, he finally opens his mouth, he says, "Father!" And all the angels, "Go, go, 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 go! Forgive them!" Ah. "For they know not what they do." And then he said, "Tetelestai." It is finished. You're forgiven. "By my stripes you are healed. The chastisement of your peace was laid upon me." It is finished. There is healing available for you. Prosperity is available for you. Entrance to the grace, entrance to the throne of God is available to you. It is finished. So 1 Corinthians 11 says that when we partake of the elements, we do this in remembrance of him. That we remember how blessed we are, so that it acts as a reminder of the blessing that we can be. That as you partake of the elements, as the band comes up to sing, and we'll minister to God in this moment, when you partake of the elements, be grateful. Be grateful, Juan Pablo. That's like a movie from Nacho Libre, I'm sorry. But he says, "Be grateful, Juan Pablo." I'm telling you this today. Be grateful, church. Y'all are very blessed. It would surprise you. It would make you laugh. When I try to explain Mississippi to people in Colombia, they're like, "Tell me about this wonderful place called Mississippi." I'm like, "Buddy, the entrance of heaven is called Mama Hamels." I don't even want to get into it because I don't want, you know. It's called Mama Hamels, man. It's like, the problem is if you go too much to that place, you'll go to heaven real quick. Man, but we're a blessed country. The other day, I was talking to a friend about taxes, how taxes are done in the States, which is different than other countries. And I'm like, "Let me tell you, they got this thing called tax rebates, where the government gives you back money." Mississippi. And they're like, "What do you mean the government gives you back money? Like, all the government does is take your money." It's like, "I'm Mississippi." Like, if you do your taxes right, like, you could get a tax refund. They're like, "What?" And then I realize, I understand, yes, we've got our struggles. I don't want to downplay your struggles, not at all. But I want us to pause for a second so we can be grateful and be like, you know, I mean, yes, we have problems, but we're still more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. Yes, we have problems, but God is on our side, and he will supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. Not only that, but if I could add to that, he's already supplied for so many needs according to his riches and glory. And he's not changing. He's not deciding to change his way of blessing you. He is still God, worthy of all our praise. So today, as you partake of the elements, be grateful. And then take the time to ask God, "God, what I have in my hand, is it seed to sow or is it bread to eat?" And let God direct your paths. Father, we thank you. And we thank you for your Holy Spirit that brings light, brings clarity to what we're supposed to do. We thank you, Father, that you make all grace abound towards us. That we, having all sufficiency in all things, we can abound towards every good work. We bless you and we give you glory. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.